106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:26.
That means we're a little over half an hour away from hooking you up with tickets in the Party Bus section to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Party Bus not included. That's going to be this Saturday at the Shrine with all of our favorite comedy friends on stage for one big night. VIP reception with Kevin and Bean, limited edition Party Bus section show t-shirt, VIP parking. That's just after 8 o'clock this morning here on KROQ. Don't miss it.
Here's a headline, cocaine-filled condoms sent to the Vatican.
Interesting transport system.
Yeah. Interesting destination.
Yeah, that too.
Indeed.
German customs officials intercepted a shipment of cocaine destined for the Vatican in January. Apparently it was about 12 ounces, 14 condoms. But if you're in the Vatican, you can't use condoms, right? So how do you get your cocaine? Well, I don't think they thought that through.
Those are all good questions.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just a reasonable transport system. Don't they put them in condoms because they're harder to detect somehow, like for dogs or something? Is there some deal like that?
I haven't really smuggled cocaine, so I don't.
Well, here's what's curious to me. There was no recipient's name on the package. It was just sent to the Vatican Post Office, but it was coming from South America, and I think we all know who's famously from Argentina, and I think you know that the man we're talking about, Pope Francis himself, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, Your Holiness.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're very good.
We're doing fine, sir, but we're a little concerned. As popular as you have been now in the papacy for a year, there's a little bit of a hint of scandal here that you might have some involvement in these drugs being transported.
Well, it's an embarrassing story for sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's just sent to the Vatican Post Office.
Right, just right. Generic, right.
There's 800 residents within the state of the Vatican.
How many of them are from South America?
Roughly 25, 30.
Okay.
From South America.
Okay.
But if the drugs come from South America, anyone who could be using the drugs would have, the package come from that area.
Yeah, okay. I understand. It makes sense. Look, I know that there's no proof that you were involved. It sounds
like you're trying to say something.
It just raised eyebrows because...
I don't like what you infer.
It's a strange story. I mean,
life can be strange.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Don't make me kick your ass.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
You did used to be a bouncer. That is true, actually.
I used to be a bouncer in a nightclub. I could kick your ass easily.
And where was the nightclub?
Where was the nightclub?
Yeah, it was in South America, wasn't it? I'm saying, Your Holiness, you have some answering to do.
I am, frankly, disturbed by the tone of this whole phone call.
I mean, do you have some answering to do is what I meant.
I have no answering and no questioning.
Okay,
You call me and here... I am interrupt morning prayers.
Your Holiness, come on.
And you can put your... you guys are assholes.
You can put your phone on vibrate, too. You know that, right?
No,
you
don't have to pick up. You can't do that in the Catholic Church.
Oh, is that right?
You're not allowed to put your phone
on
vibrate?
In your pocket that vibrates.
Oh, I see. Oh, I got it.
Big no-no.
And look, your name wasn't on the package. All we're saying is any of your little Vatican lackeys could have hopped on over to the post office.
Okay, hold on. Time out.
What?
Vatican lackeys.
Right.
This is, like, what I'm saying is disrespect.
No, I'm just saying any of your people could have gone and picked up the package for you, brought it back to you. No one's the wiser. We're just asking the question. That's all.
I don't really like you.
We're not asking the question from us. We're saying other people might get...
What's happening there, Your Holiness?
What'd you say?
We were asking you about people who could have picked up the cocaine.
Whoa! Yeah! Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
I'm a good too.
Yeah, we've been talking for about 5 minutes now.
Uh-huh. This is not bad a conversation for me to have it.
So, just to wrap up here, Pope Francis, you do or do not know anything about the cocaine-filled condom sent to the Vatican?
Wait, what's happening right now?
My lips are smacking. I can't stop them.
I see.
I don't know why. It's party time in Vatican.
Wow. I didn't think it was ever party time in Vatican.
Get the glow stick. Everybody get a glow stick.
Get the glow stick.
Pope Frankie in the house.
All right.
All right, Your Holiness, we'll let you go. You sound busy.
All right, God bless you. Okay.
You too.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later this hour to recap the NFC and AFC championships over the weekend and preview the Super Bowl. And also, we got to talk to Andrew, Kevin, about all the talk of eliminating the extra point after the touchdown. Apparently, that's the thing that they're seriously considering. Yes, it is real. Wow. Even the commissioner of football was talking about it over the weekend. So we'll catch up on all that. First, though, let's welcome back to the program for the first time in 2014. I don't think we talked to you at all last year either. Our friend LaQuisha joins us on the phone. Hey, LaQuisha, how are you?
Shut up.
What do you mean, shut? We just said hello.
I am not happy with you.
We haven't talked to you in like a year.
I know, and it's a year too soon.
Come on, LaQuisha. I thought we were friends.
Oh, I thought so too until you told me to watch.
Say, I know you haven't been on the radio in a while, but you can't use the S word. Listen, you told us that you love stupid white people, so when we found a show with the most stupid white people on it, we called you up.
If I want to talk about stupid white people, I just talk about your show. Play clips from that.
Wow.
This
no love lost
way,
here.
It's not even about stupid white people.
What is it
There's
about?
There's only one stupid white person on the whole damn show. You got a stupid Chinese girl. You got a stupid Persian girl. You got a stupid black gay guy. And one stupid white girl. This is an equal opportunity stupidity show.
So they're all stupid.
They're all very wealthy and very, very stupid.
Okay. All right. Who airs
the show? The show itself is so horrible and so poorly produced,
right,
and so difficult to suffer through,
right,
that I hope you get ass AIDS.
Come on, LaQuisha.
Wow.
This is just episode one.
And the end.
No,
episodes that I'm going to be talking about. I'll pick the shows from now on. How about that?
This is the beginning of a long and wondrous career with you highlighting this show, which will have many seasons. No?
I will cut you.
All right. All right. Who airs The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills? Where can our listeners see this one?
E.
Okay.
E.
All right.
So what do we need? Stands for excrement.
what do we need to know about episode one?
You need to meet the two main stars of the show, Dorothy Wang and Morgan Stewart.
Okay.
They're besties in Beverly Hills, and they're both horrible human beings. And Dorothy Wang and Morgan start off the show by just shopping in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive.
Is this a marathon? These are heavy, these bags, honestly. I'm dying.
Weight training. Literally. Walking from Barney's up Rodeo is always like a cardio.
My boob sweat at this moment in time, I have like a puddle forming right here that's literally separating. Whew. Your boobs look great.
It takes a lot of coordination and tact to be a shopper on Rodeo, and a power shopper at that, which we are.
Oh, my God. Do they talk like that all the time, LaQuisha?
That is the actual voices of actual people.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
These aren't characters from Saturday Night Live. These are real people, and they're very wealthy people.
Oh, wow.
That have more money than you will ever have, and they are horrible human beings.
It's like weight training, though, to be really power shop
it's
on Rodeo.
It's exhausting to carry bags and bags of ridiculously overpriced merchandise that you would never really appreciate, that is better than some people make in the entire year of their poor-ass lives.
Yeah. All right. I'm already in love with this show. What happens next?
Well, let me introduce you more in-depth to the characters.
Okay.
Dorothy Wang is a girl of Chinese descent whose father is a billionaire.
Oh, no.
And Dorothy puts the Wang back in Wang, in my opinion. Here she is describing herself.
My name's Dorothy Wang. I'm 25 years old. And my occupation is being fun employed and fabulux.
She is fun employed and fabulux.
Okay. Wow.
That's how she defines herself.
Wow.
But she has big dreams, too, because her father is a very wealthy Chinese businessman, and she has aspirations of her own.
Growing up, my parents didn't talk about money. Honestly, it wasn't until it was printed in Forbes that I knew how much money we had. My dad is a businessman, so I've always thought in a bigger sense. When I grow up, I want to be Asian sensation of the world.
Her career goal is to be the Asian sensation of the world.
Well, I think that position is open.
LaQuisha, how can you not love this show?
How can you not die?
Well, the difference between LaQuisha and us is we didn't spend 2 hours watching this nonsense, but your highlights really make us happy.
Let's meet Morgan Stewart now, the only obnoxious white person
okay.
in the cast.
All right.
She is also ridiculously wealthy through no doing of her own, but she's creative. She's got a blog.
My name's Morgan Stewart. I'm from Beverly Hills, California. I'm 26 years old, and I have a blog called Boobs and Loops. My blog is a perfect representation of me. I have very large boobs and a very large affinity for Louboutin.
She got a blog called Boobs and Loops, which you think would be some kind of interesting.
Right.
But no, it's just selfies of her and her Christian Louboutin shoes.
And that's how she spends her time.
That's a place you go to read things and look at things about her boobs and her shoes.
Are any of these people hot?
But they're all sort of attractive in a way that money can buy anybody attractiveness.
Okay, all right.
But what the hell does that matter? Have you heard them?
Yeah. I haven't.
All they do all day long is take pictures of themselves and put it on Instagram. Hey. They're checking Instagram all the goddamn time.
Hey, she's the Asian sensation. Let's give her a little credit.
Well, she's also Insta-famous on Instagram.
Right.
I've taken so many selfies on my cell phone today, it's like embarrassing.
I think I'm somewhat Insta-famous in the Instagram world. Right now I have 16,000 Instagram followers, and none of them are purchased. God.
Oh, my God.
How can she be against purchasing Instagram followers when she purchases everything else of any kind of value in her life her daddy's $3 billion fortune? They buy their friends, they buy everything else, but she won't buy Instagram followers?
Ugh. Ugh.
Then let's meet the third member of this little triumph, and that is Roxy. Roxy is a Persian princess whose father is a Persian billionaire, and she also has a great deal of self-worth in what she accomplishes in the course of her day.
My name is Roxy Solati. I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Beverly Hills. I'm totally a Persian princess, and sorry to say that, but I love it. I'm totally an expert shopper. I could shop for a living. Nothing makes me happier in the world. My parents gave me 6 unlimited credit cards and like unlimited Bergdorf's and Neiman's and Saks and Barney's cards. I think I'd probably spend like $20,000 to $30,000 a month sometime.
Your total is $488,680.50.
That's from one shopping trip, that
Holy
number.
Holy cow.
Almost $500,000 she spent in one store.
Did she buy a house?
I hope she bought cancer.
Wow.
I hope she bought terminal inside cancer.
Wow. That's shocking.
God, what's wrong with these parents?
They are horrible, too, Lisa.
They are horrible.
Everybody in this show is horrible, but not as horrible as Kevin and Bean for making me watch it.
Aw, LaQuisha.
Now, they don't like to party at the clubs, these girls, because regular people go to clubs. Mm. So what they do is every week they get a penthouse at the most expensive hotel in Beverly Hills, and they cater their own party.
Ah.
But there are rules you have to follow when you're at their parties, like how you eat the caviar at the party.
There's caviar from the Caspian Sea.
Oh, Caspian Sea.
If we're going to have a party, we want to do it right.
Cheers.
A little caviar toast. The number one rule of caviar etiquette is don't be that person that goes, ew, what's that?
I feel like 8-year-old kids from the Valley
What's
do
that?
Yeah, that's what 8-year-old kids from the Valley do. They look at their Caspian Sea caviar and go, ooh, what's that? That's what all the 8-year-olds in the Valley do.
This might be the best show ever.
It might be. LaQuisha, does she talk like that all the time? Like every break, every time she opens her mouth, does she sound like that?
Take it easy, LaQuisha.
I just can't believe she's real. I can't even believe it.
This show is nothing about nothing.
Right.
Featuring no one.
Right.
All they do is eat and shop. and then take pictures of themselves. That's all they do. Nothing else happens.
They're Insta-famous.
So they have to manufacture some sort of content for the show, so they give them BS things to do and make them pretend like they came up with it. Like, how about a Beverly Hills blood drive? This is episode one. They're going to a blood drive. That's all they got.
And, like, I feel like we should do a blood drive, a Beverly Hills blood drive, like a picnic.
I mean, I would love to help you with that if you actually want to do something. I mean, I have nothing better going on, and I have never given blood.
Do you think everyone, all of our friends will?
Yeah.
We should make flyers.
Yes.
It should be like a community thing. Like, everyone should be wanting to give back.
Dorothy, the do-gooder.
I know.
It's like a hair flip.
I know. I just, like, you know, have so many facets to me.
She is the modern day Mother Teresa.
She has one facet. That's all she has. And then she bought it. That's all facets that she has. These girls, so dumb. So horrible. They can't perform the everyday task of opening a bottle of wine. They struggle. The show had 20 minutes of them struggling to open a bottle of wine. That's what kind of show we're talking about. Here's them trying to open a bottle of wine.
And I have no idea how to do it.
I don't open my own bottle of wine.
Neither have I. This is why I have a boyfriend.
I mean, why do we need to know how to open our own wine when there's always a sommelier?
Don't, like, poke your eyeball out. I'm already sweating.
Isn't it out?
No.
And then you flip the arms down.
Oh, that's the first time I've successfully opened my own bottle.
I should take a picture and send it to your mom. She's going to be so mad.
Opening wine is the hardest thing in the entire world to do.
Yes, it is.
Not climbing Mount Everest, but
not having a job.
No.
Opening a bottle of wine. Beating AIDS.
Not raising a child.
Oh.
Not anything else.
This is the best show ever.
This is the worst show with the worst people that has ever been broadcast on television. E Network, the people who brought you the Kardashians, have reached a new low.
Yeah, that's something.
Hey, LaQuisha. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. You are clearing your calendar every Sunday night for Rich Kids of Beverly Hills so that we can recap this show each week, right?
We are on the same page, and that page is covered with anthrax, and I'm mailing it to you.
No, but seriously, we'll talk to you next week.
No, but seriously, burn in hell and die.
K-Rock presents Coldplay coming up May 19th. Hey, that's just this weekend, isn't it?
I believe it's Monday.
Royce Hall, UCLA. Win your way in every day, many times a day at K-Rock, including 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. You can go to krock.com for all the details, which means we have tickets for you for Coldplay in less than 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. The topic of what makes men cry.
Besides women?
Has come up.
Besides going to the ATM?
Oh, Bean, you gotta go there every time.
Wow, what are you guys talking about?
Nothing.
I said that what makes men cry is you go to the ATM, you don't have any money. That's what makes you cry. What do you think I meant? Hashtag truth. Dave is in here because he's a big fat baby, and Dave was watching something on TV. Look, when you tune in to watch a sporting event, you don't expect to cry. How about not even a sporting event? How about just a ceremony? Do you expect to cry?
A speech. A speech, yeah.
What happened, Dave?
Well, Kevin Durant was accepting his MVP award, and he went on this 20-minute speech about thanking his teammates and blah, 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 whatever.
Right, but didn't care at that point.
No, don't care. Right. All right, this is normal.
Right.
But then he goes into thanking his mom.
Yeah, that
and
was...
Does this big speech about how she raised them all alone and they had no food and, you know, they moved into an apartment with no furniture. And
his mom's and crying in the audience.
Yeah,
and
he starts crying, and then they cut to Caron Butler and he's crying with his wacky eye, you know. So,
he's got one wacky tear.
Yeah. Tears are going in different directions. It was crazy. But
I have a little of that speech if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant accepting his MVP award.
And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked. The odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys. By the time you were 21 years old, everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. Because we thought we made it. And
Yeah, you have to be made of stone not to let that get to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, me being a mama's boy, just, you know, I felt it, and it made me shed a tear or two.
Or five.
You were crying like a baby, weren't you?
Oh, I was weak.
Be honest, yeah.
The dark microphones were there at Dave's couch right there. Luckily, I was home alone, and no one saw it, so.
What is it? Look, you guys always make fun of me of having no actual human emotion.
You have none.
But what is it that made you cry by seeing how happy he was?
He was crying because of what his mom meant, and they kept cutting back and forth between him on stage crying and his mom in the audience crying. It was very touching.
Yeah. Hmm. It was a moment.
What do you mean? How can you not understand
that?
Are
you baffled?
I mean, I guess it's a moment. I mean, I'm happy for Kevin Durant, I guess, but...
Look, I don't know Kevin Durant either, but when he starts talking about his mom like that, it really does... It's very emotional.
Yeah.
This fire in the waterworks. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it.
Exactly. Thank you. We wanted to take your calls, by the way. This is men only this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show for this particular topic at 1-800-520-1067.
Could I just clarify? Human being men. Not robot men like Bean.
We're looking for you guys and what made you cry. Recently? Is that what we're looking for?
Sure.
Yeah. Something fairly recent.
The last thing that made you cry.
That made you cry. That's what we want to hear about at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Dave King of Mexico is not the only baby, though, because John Hamm, who is the cover feature article on Vanity Fair, did a video interview to accompany the words in the magazine, and he talked about how he went to the movies recently and wept like a little baby, I think at a surprising film for a lot of people.
Frozen. Surprised, no, I cried.
You did.
I was surprised. I was on a plane. Come on. When she turns into ice to save her sister, done.
Frozen. Done. Now, I didn't see Frozen.
Spoiler alert.
But I do know that my entire life changed when I had little girls. Yeah. As soon as I had little girls, I'm an effing mess. Doesn't matter if it's a commercial or what. If there's any kids involved, I just sob like a baby.
We are already getting so much reaction. We'll go to the phones here in 1 second on this topic. But from the Kevin DeBean Facebook page, Marcos writes in Dark Knight Rises, when Alfred cries at the end, I cried too.
Aww.
Barlow says, when Rudy makes the tackle on the last play.
Sure.
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way, on Rudy. Travis says, every episode of Parenthood and Chicago Fire gets me every time.
Oh, Chicago Fire is so good.
Every episode, though.
But do you cry over every episode of Chicago Fire, Dave?
No.
Steve writes in, watching the Clippers lose last night's game due to the refs. That made me cry. So, a lot of different variations on things that make men cry. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Adrian. He's online, too. Now, this is unusual. This is not – how many people cry over science, you guys?
I would say – I'm just guessing here. I'm just – none. That's my guess.
Adrian, what's going on, dude?
What's up, man? I am an astrophysics major, and I love science. I'm kind of on the Neil deGrasse Tyson path, mm-hmm. and you know, he likes to teach people. He likes to show people what they're missing out on.
Right, absolutely. Look, yeah. we all love Neil. We all love cosmos. But how does that make you cry? I can see being fascinated by it or inspired by it.
I wasn't bawling. I was tearing up just because he was talking about. Michael Faraday had a long run,
sure.
he went through a lot of stuff, and to see that he persevered to change the world, one man to change the whole world, was very, very moving to me, very touching.
I think you're too smart for us. I got to be honest.
I don't cry for very much at all.
But Cosmos did it.
But Cosmos, that's the one, huh?
Cosmos did it, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Thanks for the call, Adrian. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brian. He's up next. He's on line three. I think a lot of people will agree with him on this one.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, so so I'll be watching like a sports game or something like super intense, and then that stupid Sarah McLachlan pet ASPCA dog commercial will come on,
yeah,
and bring the whole thing down.
Yeah,
and it's like as a pet owner, and I grew up with dogs, and it just, even thinking about that, it just gets me every time.
And that's the intention, of course, of that ad, is to get you to donate money to save the pets. But you're absolutely right. You see the dogs with those sad faces sitting there in the cages, and you just want to let them out and just hug them, and it just tears you up. See, now, Kevin, now we're getting into an area where it makes sense to cry.
Please.
Don't cry over some millionaire and his mom.
Please. I don't believe that you've ever cried over a pet either.
Maybe.
I don't think your tear ducts work.
I'm right there with Brian. Absolutely, sir. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067, or you can get to us at the Kevin Abeen Facebook page or Kevin Abeen, at Kevin Abeen on Twitter. We want to hear what's the thing that made you cry. Men, you're up. We'll talk to you next here on K-Rock. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. Coldplay tickets for you at 9 o'clock, and we'll also talk to Beer Mug's mom, poor woman. Right now, though, we're talking about things that make men cry. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, before we go to chat on line one, Ryan writes in on the Kevin Abeen Facebook page. The first 10 minutes of Up, the Pixar movie Up. As yes. a 27-year-old, I was trying to hold back my tears in front of my buddies. I looked over and saw all of them wiping away their own tears.
So
too many emotions, he says. So, yeah, that's a popular one for a lot of people to get them all weepy.
All right, let's talk to Chad. This one gets me every time as well. Chad from Corona. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, party people. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
So I was watching the Ducks game, Ducks Kings game on Monday night, and great game, totally into it. And all of a sudden, they show a commercial of vets coming home to their kids.
The soldier coming home from war, right?
Yeah. Right, the soldier's coming home from war, and I start bawling.
And the kids are all surprised and thrilled. They throw their arms around them, and then is that an anti-smoking thing?
I don't know what it was. I just was totally into the vets, and then it kind of killed the game momentum for a minute. But tearing up, I was like, hey, take it back to the game. But, you know, those vets work hard, so they should get a commercial.
Agreed.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Diego. He's on line two. If you haven't seen the commercial, this one is going to sound hilarious that a gum commercial can make somebody cry. But let's see what Diego's got to say about it.
A gum commercial?
Yeah, the extra gum commercial. The one where he's making those origami cranes for his daughter every time, like, she gets her heart broken or she falls down. And
I don't think I saw that one, but that one breaks you up?
Yeah, because she collects them all throughout her whole life, and right when she's going to go to college, she drops them, and he sees that she's been collecting them.
So she's been saving the little paper cranes all those years, and that's what...
It's all the moments they've ever had.
Yeah, that would destroy me, too. I haven't seen it, but that would destroy me.
it's a gum commercial, you guys. Come on.
If it has little kids in it, you're screwed up.
Let's go to Robert. Thank you for the call, Diego. Let's go to Robert. He's on line five. Again, in the category of unlikely things to cry over, is there ever anything on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that you would expect would make somebody cry?
Don't make fun of me, guys.
But don't call in with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I dare anyone to just go ahead and go on YouTube, search for Fresh Prince, Dad Leaves, and that episode always gets me. I remember as a little kid, and my dad is still in my life. He always goes in my life, but that episode just always gets me the way he...
just broke you up. I can't remember that happening.
But,
okay.
Let's it all go.
All right. All right, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm a wuss. I don't care, but that episode, I'm thinking about it. I got watery eyes right now.
Are you tearing up right now?
It could just be allergies. You don't know, man. That's that time of year. It could just be a dust storm coming through or something. All right, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Matt. Again, he's on line six. It's so weird. If you saw a list of these things, you'd never imagine any of them can make a man cry. But, Matt, seriously, what movie?
Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator.
No.
Yeah. So there's a part near the end of the movie where they're all fighting, and the girl kills the alien. Yeah, she kills the alien, and the Predator marks the girl with the alien's acid blood on her face, and it made me cry because he's signifying that she's one of them now. And I just started bawling.
Okay.
How? But why?
All right.
But who? But
I'm satisfied.
You know, I'm confused. I'm confused just as much as you. I have no clue why that made me cry, but I just started crying.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brian. He's on line one. Let's get away from Alien versus Predator and talk about something that matters, sports. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, party people? Lisa May.
Hello.
Good, thanks.
So what made me ball was the last hockey game when Stan was on his career at, well, not actually the last hockey game, but the last season game.
The last regular season game.
Yes, that was very emotional.
It sounds like it, man. Now you're having trouble with it.
Look, I'm a Kings fan, and I really want the Kings to win, especially tonight, because we need it. But, okay,
no,
but that's fine. But Teemu Selänne, when he scores on the Kings, I go, all right. I mean, it's Teemu. Okay.
It's Teemu Selänne, right?
He's the one guy. I'd rather no one scored, but if somebody has to from the Ducks, Teemu's my choice.
It's hard not to admire him.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I understand what you're saying. Right. Thank you very much for the call, Brian. Listen, before we close this out, it was Intervention, I think, Kevin, was the show.
Yes, it was.
And there was, and I don't remember the specifics of this episode, but it was one of those like heartbreaking moments where the family encounters the guy and they tell him about how much damage, how much he's wreaked havoc, and the guy just lets out from the depths of his soul.
Can you play the real one and then the auto-tune?
Sure, yeah.
Because this is crazy.
He just, I mean, it's so heart-wrenching. It was so personal that you almost felt bad for watching it on TV. Like it was the kind of moment that you really shouldn't be a part of as a stranger. Here's what it sounded like.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
All right, so
that's for real.
That's for real. That's the dad who's been confronted by that, and his heart is crushed.
It's split wide open. Well, when you heard it auto-tuned, it was a whole new level of pain. Ladies and gentlemen, the saddest moment of all time. I didn't see you shaking that ass to that song, did I, Hannibal Buress? Were you enjoying that one?
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I mean, I liked that song. Yeah, it was good. What was that song again?
Isn't that Avicii? Is that Wake Me Up? Is that what we heard, Muggs?
Yeah. It's one of those songs that I know the song, but I don't know who it is. This is everywhere. I saw Avicii in Vegas.
That sounds like fun.
It was crazy. I hadn't heard of him before, but everybody, Avicii, and he makes like six figures for a club gig.
It's unbelievable.
For one night of DJing. Yeah.
I mean, the biggest rock stars in the world now are the DJs, and they're the ones who are out there, and they can draw, 50, 60, 80, 100,000 people sometimes.
Yeah.
On the wheels of steel. It's insane. And people just get addicted to going to those shows and shaking that ass and, just getting into it, So how are you, Hannibal? You've been working very hard this week. I don't even like you. I've been trying to avoid you, and I can't. You're on every single TV show, radio show, and podcast promoting your special this weekend on Comedy Central.
Yeah, man. You got to promote stuff. You got to get everything is fragmented, so you got to try to hit everybody.
Yeah.
You got to talk to everybody.
Disappointing for you to now be so down, so far down on the list of things to do promotionally that you're on the Kevin and Bean show. I mean, you have to be very near the end to squeeze us in.
No, man. They said y'all's show is great. I don't live in L.A., but they said Kevin and Bean is the spot to go in L.A., so this is why I came through, and thank y'all for having me.
Thank your people. We appreciate that.
All right.
I listened to a little bit of you on Mr. Rogan's podcast this week, or at least I tried to, but all that dude wants to do is talk about shooting pigs in the head. I mean, didn't you feel like you spent like an hour talking hunting with the guy, and you're thinking, what am I doing here?
I did, but you know what? It actually was fun just because it was different from a lot of the other comic podcast I do, because he has a bunch of different interests, so I'm not just there, which I like talking about joke structure and performing and things like that, but it was interesting, just he was into hunting, and he knows a lot about fighting and pool cues and all this other different stuff, so it was real cool talking to him. That was a 3-hour long podcast, man, so it was a lot of fun, and it was an interesting time.
You should get paid if you have to do something for 3 hours, even if it's fun. I think there's a limit at which you're no longer promoting. Now you're working for Joe Rogan, don't you?
Well, you put it like that, yeah, man. But you know what? It was a good. I think it was a good. I got a bunch of new fans out of it, and it was fun, man. I learned a lot. He talked about history and
he's smart.
Yeah.
Oh, we have him in all the time. He's a frequent guest of the show. We love Joe. We love him. But you're right. He's into
he could definitely talk though. At a couple points, and it seemed like I was interviewing him.
What is your passion that has nothing to do with show business, Hannibal?
It's just, I mean, I think I'm into music a lot, but that's show business. I have nothing really else. I'm pretty boring outside of entertainment. I play video games. I go to concerts and shows, and I try to just eat food. You got to do that. But, yeah, I don't have that many other interests, man. I've been doing this since I was 19. I've been doing stand-up, so I've been pretty focused on this. So,
how old are you now? We
31.
Can't tell because okay, you're 31. All right,
yeah.
Wow, you look terrible. All right, so
thank you.
I kid because I love. Does it seem to you, as it does to us, that your career is at an absolute tipping point now, where everybody knows who you are?
It's changing right now just because I'm on the show Broad City on Comedy Central, and that show kind of hit fast and got some movie projects coming out. But, yeah, it is. And it's been kind of progressing. It's been a slow progression where it hasn't been just one thing. It's just been a bunch of different things over time. And now, you know, got my second special coming out. So I feel real good about the material. And I feel like I've grown a lot as a comedian, but yeah, it's an exciting time, man. It's weird, but people get weirdly comfortable and just as far as it's seeing me in the street or if I'm out somewhere, people kind of don't have boundaries as much.
because
they think they feel like you're a friend, right?
Yeah, they feel like I'm their buddy.
They
get real familiar. Like, I don't know if it's something with my persona or how much I'm on TV or whatever, but people just will just grab me in a way that I don't like. Or I have people just, I was texting when somebody just grabbed my phone out of my hand. It's like, you don't know me. Why, you're a stranger. Why are you grabbing my phone out of my hand? So, but, you know, I guess it's a little bit par for the course, but, yeah, it's just, you know, it's part of the business and, you know, I'm enjoying growing and building my career.
Hannibal Buress, live from Chicago, by the way, is going to premiere on Comedy Central this Saturday night at midnight. You can buy it at Comedy Central's website for just $5. I've seen a bunch of it, and it's super funny. And you talk about how you love music, and one of the things that you do that's so cool that I don't know that I've seen any other stand-up guy do is incorporate – I mean, you have a DJ that travels with you for the act, right?
Yeah, I do. It's fun, man. Just, yeah, and I mean, a lot of comedians have incorporated music, but I like to – it's just a fun way to – break it up for me, because if not, I'm just talking for an hour 15 minutes, which is fun, but it's fun for me to break it up and have something else to react to versus just talking. So I can say, you know, this song has a weird lyric, and then the DJ will play something and I'll comment on it, and so it kind of brings the energy up for the audience and for me. Like, I have a new one where, you know, I noticed that it's a lot of different rappers that start off talking about having morning wood. Like, they would start a song. And I woke up with morning wood. I woke up. I had a bone. Whatever. They just say, huh. And so we'll just play four different examples of rappers saying that. So it's just, that's way more fun than me just saying, this rapper said that and this rapper said that. It's way more, you know, it's vivid to play the examples of it. So I just have a lot of fun with that. Because that's what I do when I'm with my friends. If I'm playing, we're playing some songs. Like, what did that dude say? And we're rewinding six times.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just bringing that, the things that I do with my friends to a live audience.
You tell a hilarious story in the special that I want people definitely to watch it this weekend about going to see Eddie Griffin in concert. And I was wondering, what's it like for – do most comedians like to go see other comedians, or do they not want to because, A, they feel like they're at work if they're watching comedy, or, B, they're worried about being influenced too much by seeing somebody else's stuff?
No, I mean, I like to see – like, if I go to a show that I'm not performing on, it's going to be the top – dudes, like the legends. So it's a handful of people that I would pay to go see in that. And I would pay to see Eddie Griffin. The reason I wanted to get free tickets was because I was bringing other people. And so I didn't want to buy four $90 tickets. If it was just me going, it's tough to say last minute, hey, y'all want to go see Eddie Griffin? It's $90. You got to pay for yourself. So I got to hook this up and swindle my way into some tickets. But yeah, I would pay to see guys, like, you know, legends that I could learn from. Eddie Griffin, Louis C.K., Chappelle, Chris Rock, Bill Cosby, you know, these people that, you know, somebody that has been doing it for a while and just knows the craft, and I can learn from, you know, Don Rickles, Seinfeld, these type of old pros that have been doing it, and I'll pay for that type of comedy show. But it's not that. The other one, I mean, I it's people that I enjoy, but those are people, if you're talking about just making a night of it, where it's like, okay, I'm not working, so I'm going to go see stand-up, it's not that many people. And that's,
short
that's
list, really, yeah. What's your show worth? What should your fans pay to see you, Hannah?
My show is worth, depending on the market and the median income of the city. That varies, man. You know, I charge more in San Francisco than I charge in Detroit. So I mean, it varies, man. And I try to put on a good show for people no matter what they...
You do put on a good show,
I try to give people their money's worth with a DJ. I have ballerinas. I have, you know, sometimes I have musicians open for me. So, you know, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to just, you know, respect the fact that people are on a night out and that they, you know, bought these tickets and they're buying drinks and they might have got a babysitter and they paying for parking and they went to dinner before. So I respect people's night and just try to put on the best show I can.
Well, I'll tell you what, the best deal going right now is $5 at ComedyCentral.com to buy Hannibal's new special that is called Live from Chicago. We'll talk more about that. Also, we got to talk some more about Broad City, which is a show we love, and we love those girls so much. They've been in here. And that show, I mean, that just was a rocket ride, man. That just came out of nowhere to be everybody's favorite comedy show.
Yeah, man.
And Eric Andre, who I think should be deported. So we'll talk about all that when we return with our friend Hannibal right after this on K-Rock. I just feel like we're cooler by association, Lisa, because Hannibal Buress is in the studio with us. I feel like we need to, like, call our friends from high school and go, oh, what are you doing right now? Me? I'm just hanging out with Hannibal Buress.
Oh, yeah. I've already tweeted that and Facebook.
Makes us look good.
Of course.
And then they'll be like, who's Hannibal Buress?
Hannibal, his new special Live from Chicago, again premiering on Comedy Central this Saturday night at midnight. You can buy it at ComedyCentral.com for just $5. Very funny. The Eric Andre Show is shooting season 3 this spring. That guy's a whack job,
He's a crazy person. He's a weirdo, man.
You guys couldn't be more different on camera, and that's part of the dynamics of you two together. Your low-key and his high-intensity energy is part of what makes that show so funny. What's it like with you two together off the air? Are you a little bit more compatible?
We're compatible, but he's not as crazy as that. You can't operate like that in regular life. You can operate like that in entertainment because people will allow it, you know?
For 15 minutes, you can do it.
For 15 minutes, you can do it. On cameras, you can do it. Once, even just doing stand-up, it allows for behavior and things to be said that you can't really do in normal life. You know what
sure.
I mean? I mean, you
sure.
can to an extent, but people, man, I hate him. Why is he acting like that? He talks too much. It's time to quit.
That's the strangest show on television, I think, anyway. I mean, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff. Even on Adult Swim, there's a lot of crazy stuff. But you tune into that show, and you feel like you're in some sort of... I mean, I guess it seems like a crazy basement public access show is really the best way to compare. You just can't believe that a person's doing that for real.
Yeah, that's the vibe we go for, man. Even me sometimes, because, you know, sometimes I don't even know what's going on because I might not read what we're doing that day. So I just come on set and react. And if I'm weirded out by something, that might be the real reaction. It might not be. I might be acting like, this is weird. I'm not okay with this.
Do you have it? Were there any moments where, look, celebrities are brief. They know a little bit about what kind of show they're going on before they get there. But was there anybody who was really wigged out by something that Eric did to them?
I think Lou Ferrigno was weirded out because there was a smaller... Asian Incredible Hulk he had green paint all over him, and he sat on the chair next to Lou Ferrigno and kind of was bumping him a little bit, and Lou Ferrigno was like, don't get any paint on me. Hey, don't get paint on me, man. So he said, if you get paint on me, something's going to happen. So it was kind of fun to see the old Incredible Hulk get mad at a fake Hulk.
Nothing like a little tension on the couch. Yeah. That's what you look for in
Nothing like a little tension at all. I got to feed Mel B from the Spice Girls Funyuns, which was real nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I fed her a Funyun, and she ate it in a very sexy, beautiful way. She's married, so, but that, you know, stuff
didn't
happens.
Go any further, but at least you guys had a moment.
We had a moment, and it's preserved for life, and they will play that gift at my funeral.
And you went home that day, and someone said, how was your day, dear? And you said, well, you're not going to believe this, but.
No, I went home to an empty apartment because I'm not from L.A., so nobody lives with me.
Oh, hell
no, I have a girlfriend. I'm just saying that nobody was there when I got home.
I got you. All right, let's talk about Broad City, too, because that's another of our favorite shows that's on. Like I said before the break, I mean, from episode one, that show was great. And this whole season, and we love those girls so much, Abby and Alana, we had them in here. Talk about, for folks who haven't seen, talk about our favorite dentist.
I play Lincoln. I play the dentist and Alana's sort of boyfriend, because she's kind of a whore on the show. And so I'm just a nice guy. I really like Alana. I want her to settle down, but she's messing around town. But I help them out when needed, whether that means, you know, helping them rent a car, you know, giving a line of dental care. I'm there. I'm there for her on the show. I'm a nice guy, and it's a fun part to play.
I just want Lincoln, to stand up for himself because he is such a nice guy, and I feel like she just takes advantage of him. You know, she trods all over him, dude.
Yeah, I think maybe season two, Lincoln's gonna stand up for himself, or maybe he'll pop up with some other girls. Who knows what Lincoln's gonna do?
Did you know those girls before, or did they just bring you into this when they were putting the TV show together?
No, I knew them before. The TV show used to be a web series, actually, the same title, and I played a character on there that was sleeping, that slept with Alana on the show.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
That's so awesome that they were able to make that transition to TV and have it, you know, retain its magic from the web series.
Yeah, man, it's just a really cool story in general, just because they started that out on their own, doing it super low budget. Probably, you know, when they were shooting the webisodes, it was probably, you know, maybe spending $100 to film one, if that. And so for it to grow into a TV show and now be, you know, one of the biggest shows on cable and get a season two order, Comedy Central ordered the second season, I think, after the fourth episode aired. And that usually doesn't happen. Usually there's a waiting period after the first season airs. But, you know, Comedy Central jumped on board real quick and they're writing the new season right now. So it's real cool, man.
It's great to be a part of that. Did you always want to be a performer, Hannibal?
No, I just wanted to make money. As a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, I fell for those schemes a couple times. The thing where you see those ads, like, make $20,000 a week just sending envelopes. You ever see those ads?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I was 16, and I believed that. And I used my mom's credit card one time. I'm going to get rich sending envelopes. That's all I'm going to do. That's how ambitious and dumb. They took advantage of my youth and ambition and also stupidity, and I was just naive, you know?
How did you end up writing then for Saturday Night Live? It sounds like, I mean, what was your entry into show business?
Me and Seth Meyers was shooting dice, we were shooting craps, and, you know, sometimes just betting regular money gets boring. So I said, hey, man, you work for Saturday Night Live. I'm a struggling stand-up comedian. How about, you know, for this next role, we bet that I get a Saturday Night Live job. And I wrote the 7 right away, and that's what it was.
I don't believe that story. Because he doesn't go back to the office and say to, what's his name?
Lauren.
He doesn't say to Lauren, well, we got a new writer because
new writer. But look,
I want him in a dice game.
Look at his stand-up video. The way I got it, I did Late Night with Jimmy Fallon back in 2009, and they saw my stand-up on that show, and then they hired me to write based on my stand-up for the show. And it was
gotcha.
So it's
hard to go from writer to performer. It's a little bit easier to go from writer and stand-up guy to performer, right? Because people see you and you're in front of people.
Yeah, it is just a lot of writers have made the transition to performer, though. Conan O'Brien.
That's the new
SNL Weekend Update guy. Colin Jost is a writer and started doing stand-up. Now he's doing Weekend Update. So a lot of people make that transition. It's just about learning to perform because you already know how to create the material for yourself. Actually, making a transition from just doing stand-up to being a writer was kind of tough because, you know, I was just used to writing for myself, and now it was about creating new characters or writing for characters, and that's a different thing than writing for yourself. So that was a tough transition, but, you know.
Well, it's all come to, you know, to where you are in 2014. You got these great shows. You got this new special that people can get at Comedy Central. You got movies in the works. You're playing Bonnaroo this year. I mean, it's crazy how you're blowing up. I feel like next time we try to get you on the show, you're going to be too big to come by.
No, man, I'm going to come by. Y'all
I feel like this is it.
No, I don't think so, man.
No,
this must be because I'm not from LA, so I don't know. I didn't know the show, but I know that if you got two houses in Washington, it must be a big show.
Right? Well, when you put it that way, all right.
We're gonna hold
you to that. We're gonna want you back. Have fun. By the way, when you go to Bonnaroo, I'm just you gonna hang out with Kanye? Do you think?
I'm gonna go see his concert.
Yeah, you got to do that, at least. You got to do that.
Yeah, I probably,
dude, you got to go to the wedding. That's what you got to do. How fun would that be? As a comedian, how fun would that be to see the camels and the whatever else they the Greek set they're building for that? I mean, it's gonna be insane.
Yeah, that wedding is gonna be crazy. His concert is crazy. Did you go to the Yeezus tour?
Oh, we know, yeah, with the mask and the whole deal, and Jesus coming up on stage and the mountain and everything,
I think the funniest part is that, you know, not just that Jesus is there, but it's a tour, so it's a whole aspect of Jesus being on tour. Like, it's not just, he doesn't hire a local Jesus, like, Jesus gets a per diem, it's like, did Jesus make bus call?
So, somewhere out there in the middle of the night in Madison, Wisconsin, there's Jesus riding the bus waiting to get to the Chicago show.
It's like, man, oh, people are just waiting, they're waiting for Jesus, like, dang, where did Jesus? Oh, I think he hooked up with a girl last night. Dang, we're going to be late to the next show because Jesus is always getting drunk.
Well, give Kanye our best, and have yourself a great summer. Hannibal Buress live from Chicago on Comedy Central, debuting this Saturday night at midnight, and you can buy it at cc.com for just $5, and it's great. You people will love it.
All right, thanks.
And Eric Andre's show returning for season 3 coming up here soon, shooting that currently right now in Broad City on Comedy Central Wednesday nights at 10:30. Thanks, Hannibal. We really enjoyed it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The man is trying to collect all the copies of the movie Speed on VHS. We'll talk to him in about 40 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, actor Seth Rogen on the program today. And Kevin, Drew Doughty from your Los Angeles Kings is going to be joining us at 8:30 or a little bit after this morning on K-Rock. You know, I was thinking about, as I was reading the story about the new world's oldest man who happens to be an American. We think back to, World War II as being ancient history.
Right.
I mean, 1939, when that war began, look, I'm old, and that was well before my parents were born. This guy, who's now the oldest man in the world, was already 36 years old when World War II began, and he's still alive.
Oh, my God.
He's 111. Here's the news audio.
After blowing out these candles at his recent birthday celebration, Alex Imich has earned himself title of oldest man in the world. A distinction he honors with humor.
I don't know. I simply didn't die any other.
What? Alex was born in Poland in February 1903, just months after the Wright brothers flew an airplane. He recalls the first time he saw one land.
There was no place to land inside, so outside from the field.
And while shrugging off his new title, he credits good genes, athletics, and a minimal diet to his longevity.
I could listen to her talk to him all day, and this is his answer to that last question.
I was not drinking, not alcohol.
Right. No alcohol? Is that what he's saying?
That is one of the things that he attributes his life to, yes, that he never drank alcohol.
Well, good interview. Good interview, first of all, I have to say, for the news.
I'd rather die younger, to be honest.
And drink.
Right.
Well, let's not mock her trying to talk to the new oldest man in the world, because we're about to try to do the same thing. On the phone, 111 years old from New York City, Alexander Imich joins us on the Kevin Amicho. Hi, Mr. Imich.
Hey.
Can we call you Alex, or is it Alexander? What do you go by? Hello?
You can call me.
We can call you what?
Yes.
Come on, we just started. What was that?
Are you okay? You didn't die, did you?
It'd be terrible if we killed the oldest man in the world.
It'd be awesome.
You can call.
What can we call? What?
Call me out.
Oh, do not. Come on. Good night, everybody. So, Al, I got nothing else. It's hard to talk if you call me Al. So you're really old.
Yeah. Yeah, what's, I'm what? Old.
Yeah, you're old.
Old.
He said, yeah, I'm old.
Yeah.
You still getting your share of the tail, though?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I like big butts and I can not like.
What has been the most surprising or remarkable thing you've seen
living through all of the 20th century.
Should we just bail? Alex, you okay?
This is a nurse with you.
Is this too much for you? Okay. We're going to let you go to sleep, maybe for a long, long time.
The most amazing thing.
The yes. most amazing thing.
I have seen.
You've seen.
Head up his boobies.
Yeah.
Well, nothing wrong with that. I'm surprised yes. I didn't give you a heart attack.
Motorboat.
Right.
I like big buttons.
Okay. We had a great surprise on the program a few days ago when Jimmy Pardo was in the studio. By the way, I insisted when Mr. Pardo was here that he and I become best friends. You recall that?
Yeah, sure.
And I've followed up on that a couple of times. I've tweeted Jimmy. Right. No response. Now, does that mean that he is not with me on being best friends with me? Or,
correct.
Or is he just taking his time to craft a perfectly worded response back?
No, he will not be your friend.
I thought we were going to be friends.
Yeah, I know. I know you thought that. You read a social situation wrong. That is shocking.
How did that happen? Jimmy Pardo, I want to be best friends with you.
Yeah.
I have decided. So let's make it so. But you need to do your part on your end as well.
He came in and made this startling confession.
I love Chicago. I wanted to pay homage to this my favorite band of all time. And
Hold on.
Yes?
Hold on.
Here we go. We got trouble here.
Hold on.
Okay.
Chicago.
My dad loved Chicago. I grew up listening to them. My first concert was Kiss, of course, because my age group, that's illegally what you have to see. Okay. And then I went to see Chicago in 1981.
And you were like, wow, these guys suck compared to Kiss.
No! God,
what's happening?
How dare you? I went with my buddy Gary, and we sat in the front row at Chicago Fest, and I just was like, man, this band's amazing. Which you may say about any band if you're in the front row.
Probably.
And that was it. From that day on, I'm the biggest Chicago fan.
All right. So the shocking takeaway, besides the fact that Jimmy Pardo doesn't want to be my best friend, is that Chicago is his not a band he enjoys.
Right.
Not a band he'll go see once in a while. Not a band he likes and occasionally hears their songs on the radio and sings along. Is his favorite band of all time.
Now, how is that possible? You might say top 10.
Right.
Look, who's to argue your time? It's taste.
Right.
But that band's better than every other band in history? Really?
That was the surprise for us. Now, we happen to be talking about Chicago in his case, but there are lots of other people out there who have bands that I'm having trouble understanding how that band can be their favorite band of all time. Petros Papadakis yesterday was talking about The Bachelor, like he does for 3.5 hours of his 4-hour radio show on AM 570. And at one point he mentioned the word unbelievable and mentioned the band that had a song by that title back in the '90s named EMF. And somebody called him up and said, I'm so happy you mentioned EMF. They're my favorite group of all time. Now look, you might like EMF. Maybe you know more EMF than I do. Maybe you've heard more than that one song, but how can they be your favorite group of all time?
That we just reject that.
But don't you think it's time and place?
Like, sure.
Like when you go see a band and it's just this amazing time in your life.
Right.
And for whatever reason, it really touches you and that never happens to you again.
That could be your best concert moment.
But then every time you hear
how many hits does EMF have?
But every time you hear the band, it brings it all back and no other music does that.
I mean, look, there must be some explanation as to why. I mean, like Kevin asked when Jimmy Pardo brought up Chicago, Kevin's like, look, I understand that you grew up and you heard them a lot on the radio, but you must have heard 50 other bands on the radio, too, that could have been your favorite bands. Why Chicago? And maybe you're right, Lisa. It's the concert experience that did it for him. Maybe that's what put him over the top. But we thought it might be fun to hear from people whose favorite band is a band that nobody else calls their favorite band. Nobody else is with you on this band being your favorite band of all time.
You get into these conversations with your friends, and then you bring it up, and what you've learned is people smack you down.
Right.
Because they can't imagine that your favorite band is your favorite band.
Now, look, there are lots of bands that are very popular. I mean, I'll give you an example. There's hundreds of people who have Fall Out Boy tattoos.
Sure.
Okay? Fall Out Boy's a fine band. There's nothing wrong with Fall Out Boy. But people who like Fall Out Boy, haven't they heard other music too? Doesn't it seem like there must be somebody that they must like more than Fall Out Boy? Apparently not if they're getting a freaking Fall Out Boy tattoo.
Our assistant producer, Christina's in here.
Hi, guys.
And her favorite band is?
The best band in the entire world, Jimmy Eat World.
Okay, now, here again we're going to say, love Jimmy Eat World. Love the band. Have loved them for a long time. I can see top 10.
Well, I mean,
I can see top 5.
Maybe you haven't been exposed to all of their awesomeness.
I've gone to like 4 of their shows. I've seen them and they're good.
Right.
Their shows are better.
So many shows.
Right.
Compared to the average bear.
But what I'm saying is, how is that number 1?
So do you, I don't know if
you're
you
not
guys,
even saying number 3.
No, absolute favorite. So like 10 years ago or 8 years ago or something, they were here playing and I came in early that morning
right.
to see them before I worked
Fine,
on the show.
Fine, good.
And you guys told them, oh, you know, the Christine's here to see because you're her favorite band. And we completely reject that. And you told that to them to this day.
I don't remember that at all, but I imagine that we did.
I think the reason is somebody who likes Jimmy Eat World, who likes that kind of music, must also like you too, and must also
I do.
Like,
no, better. There's got to be somebody better.
Maybe like just under.
All right.
Who's number two, Christine? Do you have a list? Is there a number two?
Maybe you two and the Beatles, probably.
So you like... really?
Absolutely.
Sure. Jimmy Eat World, then you two, then the Beatles.
I
that's your list?
The band Jimmy Eat World would disagree with that.
Absolutely. So who's your favorite band that nobody can believe? Your friends can't get over the fact that this, out of all of the groups and artists you've been exposed to in your life, is the one that you like the most. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Troy real quick. He's on line 3. He's a good one for us to get to before we have to take a quick break. Hi, Troy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa Mack.
Good morning.
Your favorite band is?
Third Eye Blind.
Seriously. That was funny.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking like, oh, they have Semi-Charm Life and Jumper, but like the deeper tracks on the albums, the way the music and the lyrics all mash together, and it's magical.
All right. You just use Third Eye Blind and magical in the same sentence.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
No. Also, I think it's important to note that there's a difference between what someone's favorite is and what like the best band in their opinion is.
So you can admit Third Eye Blind isn't the best band, but they're still your favorite.
They're the ones you enjoy the most.
Exactly. I would say the best band ever is probably Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Okay.
But they're no Third Eye Blind.
At least you're making a nod to great versus my favorite, which is admirable, and yet your favorite is Third Eye Blind. So we're going to go to the wheel of new best bands here.
Oh, we're just are we assigning him one. A different band? We're taking Third Eye Blind away from him?
Congratulations. Your favorite new band is Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Enjoy that. Thank you for
Thank
calling.
Thank you, Troy. Appreciate the call. Wow, Third Eye Blind. That's going to be a tough one to beat. All right. Who's your favorite band that no one else can believe? If we don't like it, by the way, I think Kevin's on to something. I think we're going to assign a new band for you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back with your calls on K-Rock.
We could not have foreseen that this topic would be so ripe. This is crazy.
We're talking about your favorite band of all time, and you may be the only person in the world who they're your favorite band of all time. It's crazy the reaction we're getting. Listen to this. Lisa writes in from Facebook, my favorite band of all time is the Spice Girls. I listen to them every single day. Now, look, there are a lot of people who love the Spice Girls. Ralph Garman still loves the Spice Girls.
Sure.
Favorite band of all time? Gina writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, my favorite band of all time is Erasure.
All right.
They are amazing. Bean, says Brian, I take a ton of crap for this, but my favorite band has been and forever will be Limp Bizkit. I actually drove from San Francisco to L.A. just to see them play in Hollywood back in May.
No.
Matt writes in, Ben Folds 5. Seriously, they are awesome. Best band of all time. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Now, again, we're not saying these bands suck, but we are saying that you're putting them above every other band that has ever existed.
Yes, and that is a surprise. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Man, so many good ones here. Where do we even start? Why don't we go Marcos first? He's on line 4, and he's up next. Talking about one of Dave the King of Mexico's favorite bands of all time, by the way.
Hey, Marcos.
Hi, good morning.
Your favorite band of all time is?
The Cranberries.
No, but seriously.
The Cranberries.
They are better than every other band you've ever heard.
Yes, number two is Nine Inch Nails, but number one is the Cranberries.
That's not possible. It's not possible. I reject number two because of number one.
Have you seen a doctor about your bipolar disorder?
Twice.
Okay.
Right. We are going to spin the wheel of new favorite bands.
Oh, who's he get?
He gets Owl City. Congratulations.
Owl City. Congratulations.
Owl City. Enjoy that.
Hope you enjoy that. All right, let's go to, let's go to Matt. He's on line six. He has a band that I didn't expect would come up if we were talking about people's 1,000 favorite bands of all time.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa, man.
Not talking about the top 10 or top 5. Your favorite band of all time is?
Favorite band is Zebrahead.
Okay. Now, for folks who aren't familiar with Zebrahead, what might they know them from? What song or songs are they best known for?
Probably Playmate of the Year. That was, I think that was in a movie. It was one of the, American Wedding movies, American Pie movies, something like that.
But aren't they one of those bands that's just like a Xerox of a Xerox of a Xerox of, like, Blink 182?
You know what? I had some time to reflect when you guys were in a commercial, and I think Lisa May hit it on the head. I think it has to do with the show experience. Just because they're a local OC band, I started seeing them when I was, like, 16 years old, the Anaheim House of Blues, and I saw them as recently as last November when they were in town. I don't know. I think the show experience has a lot to do with it.
Yep. So you just grew up with them, but Kevin's going to give you a new band anyway.
Congratulations. Your new favorite band is Crazy Town. Enjoy that. Thank you for calling.
Let's go to Jennifer. She's up next. She's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, in a million years, if we were guessing ahead, we would not have seen this one coming. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Come on. I mean, you're joking about this.
No.
Because people are saying, you know, people that don't quite understand the phone topic are, you know, their Twitter is the Killers. Well, the Killers are a lot of people's favorite band. But we're talking about maybe nobody shares your favorite band. And that's definitely the case with Jennifer. Who is it?
Is the President of the United States of America.
So, Lump, 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 Peaches, 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 that band from the 90s.
Yep.
Okay, but every single day since you heard the President of the United States of America, you've woken up and heard other new bands that have come along on K-Rock and everywhere else, and none of them, in your mind, have eclipsed the President's.
Beck got close. He's my number two, but no, it's them.
Isn't that something? All right, what do you got for my friend Jennifer here, Kevin?
Jennifer, your new favorite band is the Presidents of the United States of America.
Well, Jennifer, that's great for her.
What a terrible choice that is.
Look, I like them. I think
you can like them, that's fine. And she can like them, but nobody can put them at number one.
Let's go one more. Annie on line eight. She's going to have to wrap it up because we're out of time. And Mr. Jerry Springer is in the next room joining us here shortly.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. Your favorite band?
Bloodhound Gang.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Good.
Yes. It's true.
That's Do It Like They Do It on the Weather Channel or whatever that song is, right?
That's
right.
Well, that's one of their many classics, but yes.
Favorite band of all time. If somebody, well, we'll just ask you, why?
Their songs are highly entertaining and always fun to listen to, no matter...
But haven't you heard of Weird Al?
Yes, I do enjoy Weird Al.
If you're looking for funny and entertaining to listen to, then Weird Al's got to be your man.
No, he's not number one. I mean, he might be in the top 10, but no, not number one.
Bloodhound Gang, until now, when Kevin's going to give you a new favorite.
Bowling for Soup.
No, thank you.
Congratulations.
I just remember a couple weeks ago in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, we were watching the video of that guy who was trying to drink a gallon of the hot, 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 hot sauce.
Right.
And we're thinking, who is this guy and who does that? Well, this guy is Kevin Straley. He is the L.A. Beast, and he joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now.
LA
Hi,
Beast
Kevin.
Here.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
That was gross at the end of that video. I got to be honest. I don't know that I've seen vomit like that before. I mean, that was
an
accomplishment. It was Exorcist, yeah.
Yeah, I think it naturally just exercised right out of my body.
Beast, what are you doing to your body? What must the insides of your body be like right now? Because you've been punishing your digestive system and for years, right?
Right. That's a good question. For about 2 years, I actually did not go to the doctor, but about 2 weeks ago I did. And I figured, you know, it was time to get a checkup, and Blood test, everything was okay. I got an EKG on my heart. Everything's
all right.
Yep, everything's okay.
Wow. Did you tell them some of the stuff that you were ingesting?
Oh, yeah. The first thing I told the doctor who I was and what I do. And
why don't you tell our audience who you are and what you do for the people who don't know?
I'm the LA Beast. I am a professional competitive eater. I've done tons of contests all across the country. And that somehow got me into trying to push my limits doing crazy eating stunts on YouTube.
And this is what you do for a living. You make your money by putting those videos up on YouTube, right?
Right. At first, when I first started, there wasn't really that much money to be made. But as my audience has grown,
right,
and more views have come, you know, I'm able to do this as a full-time job.
That's amazing.
That's a tough way to make a living. You know, like some days you wake up and you go, wow, I got to eat every burger on the Burger King menu. Really?
It's fun, but
that's not fun.
Kevin was suggesting the opposite. It's not fun. It's not what you look forward to.
I feel like you're one of the jackass guys where you go, look, the end result might be worth it, but it's not going to be fun while I'm going through it.
Right. I've always been mentally tough, and you know, I'd rather do this than sit on a bus going into New York City and then being a zombie, you know, going about your 9-to-5 job.
Sure, sure. Let me talk about some of the accomplishments of our friend, the LA Beast here. You drank a 20-year-old bottle of Crystal Pepsi. You ate ghost chili peppers. What was the Red Bull and milk challenge? How much did you consume that time, Beast?
Can we call you Beast?
You can call me Beast.
Okay.
That's fine. All right.
Bean seems to be, so I just want to make sure it's cool.
The Red Bull and milk, you know, I have this giant beer glass that I kind of borrowed from my old job.
Mm-hmm. And by borrowed, you mean stole.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
And I filled it with 3 16-ounce Red Bulls and then like half a gallon of milk. And the two combined actually like causes the milk to curdle.
Oh.
And then you have to drink it. So
you don't have to. You do.
Right, correct.
All right.
I do what the people don't want to do,
right.
And I provide the entertainment.
Very much true.
5,000 calories in 4 minutes, 6 bottles of pancake syrup in 80 seconds. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. Now, do you come up with all these, or do you have viewers who write in and say, I bet you won't, or I dare you to?
The fans and the viewers are, you know, I get about 50 suggestions every day. It's nonstop.
Really?
Oh, my God.
But, like, I try to take their original idea and then make it my own. Put
Much
my own
worse.
Twist. Absolutely terrible.
Did you grow up like I did where you're paying each other to
Yeah, I was always, like,
nonsense.
The guy at the lunch table. Like, they pay me to eat the gum off the bottom of the table, stuff like that. Yeah, I was always that
delicious.
Kid. I was that kid.
But beyond the YouTube videos, you also enter competitive eating contests around the country, right?
Correct.
What are some of those that you've done? Have you ever done the Nathan's hot dog?
It's tricky. Nathan's, you have to win a qualifier.
Oh, you do?
And, you know, I wanted it more than anything, and I've done like 6 or 7 qualifiers and just Crazy Legs Conti beat me by 1 bite of a hot dog.
Oh, you don't want to get beat by Crazy Legs.
No.
Is there something inherently difficult about hot dogs compared to some of the other stuff you eat? Is that a challenge even for you, Kevin?
The hot dogs are so salty and greasy. And then the buns, you know.
I would think the buns would be like heavy.
The bun, yeah, you dunk it in water, you swallow the bun down, but then it expands. I guess bread expands in your stomach, which
right.
makes you full quicker.
Right.
And just the grease, the bread, and salt, all that stuff is just a bad combination.
You do make it sound delicious. What about, you're the guy when we go into restaurants someplace in this country and we see, hey, if you eat this giant steak, you get it for free. You're the guy who's been there and has gotten it for free because you can do that, right?
Right. When I moved back out to Los Angeles from New Jersey, I ate for free going across the country. And
you found those specials every stop of the way? And
right.
Just
you get free T-shirts. I clothe myself for free. Got free food.
How big are those pieces of meat that you're eating?
Oh, I've done the 72-ounce steak at Amarillo, Texas, that you saw in Man vs. Food.
Right.
I've eaten an 87-ounce steak.
Holy cow.
It's just like, yeah, it's like a side of a cow, literally.
Wow. So, Beast, what's going on in your head during these competitions? Do you have some sort of a system where you're able to kind of disassociate what your body's doing from what your mind is doing?
I usually like Will Ferrell did in Old School. He just blacks out.
Right.
And then he wakes up at the end of it. That's pretty much what I do. I just pretend like I'm sitting on the beach drinking Coronas or something and just black out.
Some of your videos, and I mentioned when you sat down that we featured a bunch of them on the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, and they're very entertaining. But it seems like you go out of your way to make – like the challenge isn't hard enough. You figure out a way to make it even harder by having people shocking you with a dog collar or splashing – you know, throwing milk on top of you or whatever it is. I mean, what's going on? What's your thought process? do you need the motivation to make it worse than it is in order for you to find what's necessary to accomplish the task?
Just my philosophy is, like, there are other competitive eaters on YouTube, and it's an amazing accomplishment to eat a giant hamburger, just eat a lot of food.
Right.
But I don't think it's very entertaining. I like to eat crazy stuff, but add the entertainment value, whether it's shock value or not. But, yeah, just try to go above and beyond and make it entertaining. That's why I do it.
And when you, the day that you shoot a video, if the mission is a lot of food, are you just, you know, like a snake and now you don't have to eat for like 3 days? You just live off of that? Or do you immediately vomit and then your life is pretty normal again with food?
Like when I ate all 11 Burger King hamburgers, like that immediately just came right back out.
I puked
it back up. But yeah, sometimes if it's like the Chipotle burrito challenge, like I used that protein and went to the gym and used it to build
you
some
went
muscle.
To the gym.
Right.
After that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Boy, there's a lot of vomiting involved in your line of work.
What percentage correct. Of the time would you say you have some violent reversals? I mean, is it 75% of the time?
I would say a good 70%. Definitely more than half of the time it's coming right back up.
Now, are people surprised, as you were, the Beast, that you're not a big fat guy? I mean, that's what I expected to come. I mean, obviously I didn't because I've seen you on the videos. But, I mean, people who hear about what you do probably expect you to be a huge, and you actually look like a pretty fit dude.
Yeah, a lot of the eaters in competitive eating are skinny.
Yeah.
There's like 90-pound women out there who could eat more food than I can. But, yeah, if I didn't go to the gym for 6 days a week, I would be fat.
How often do you put up a new video?
I try to get one once a week.
Once a week.
Four per month.
And what's the end plan here, Kevin? Because you don't want to keep doing this forever. What are you hoping this turns into?
It's going to be right. Sad if you're 65 and you're still right. Just cramming pizzas in or whatever.
Oh, look, it's another bag of Oreos. Here I go.
Right. I care about my health. I don't have a death wish in maybe one or two more years, but I've actually got contacted by a professional stuntman. In movies and television, and I've kind of been doing that on the side.
Oh, is that right?
So that's like a pretty cool transition.
Yeah, no
side
kidding.
Job.
So yeah. What's next? What's your next?
I think if I can pull it off, I want to drink a gallon of honey while engulfed with bees. I want to have like bees all over, like Johnny Knoxville's
you
bikini.
Bees all over yeah. You, and you want to drink honey.
Right. It may not sound interesting now. But
oh, no, that sounds horrific.
I will make it entertaining.
But isn't, I mean, honey is so thick that it would take, I feel like it would take me all day to drink a small glass of honey just because you have to swallow it. It's so thick. How long would it take you to drink a gallon?
That's a great question.
You can't shoot honey. I mean, it's
right,
not like
yeah.
You just go right. Right down.
I really haven't. Thought that far ahead yet.
Okay.
Do you
all
ever
right.
try? Do you ever have a little bit of something just to test out what it's going to be like?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do? Okay.
Like there's like usually a day where I prep and do all my research to make sure everything is safe and test whatever I'm going to do out.
What's your biggest fail, Kevin? The one that just went south and you just couldn't recover?
Oh, wow.
And did you not put that one up on YouTube because you failed so badly?
Probably one of the worst internal pains I've had, which I failed. I tried to eat, it was like a spicy Indian dish.
Right.
Curry. It was
curry.
Like the spiciest curry in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I had like four pieces of chicken left, but like I couldn't, I was like curled up in a ball in the restaurant. Like I couldn't even get on the train to go home. Like that was probably pretty bad.
Have you ever, during one of those times, thought, this is a bad way to make a living?
Probably after every single chat.
Yeah, after everyone.
All right. Where do you want people to find you online, Kevin, so they can enjoy the magic that is the LA Beast?
If you just go to www.labeast.com, There's all my...
All your videos are up there.
Videos, social media, everything is up there. So.
Well, you're doing good work. I hope you stay alive.
Thank you. I hope I do, too.
Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman, what is the best bar in America?
Wow. Wow.
That's the question on the table. We're going to talk about a new show on Esquire called Best Bars in America with the host Jay Larson next hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. And I'm glad you're here because you tipped me off to something yesterday that I know you found endlessly amusing.
Yeah.
We have some audio.
Touching.
We have some audio from this, but what is Teddy Love as you understand it?
Teddy Love. It is, you know, Bean, you would appreciate this as a man who sleeps with a sock monkey. Mm-hmm. Man who sleeps with a stuffed animal, a grown-ass man who sleeps with a toy.
Couldn't sleep without my sock monkey.
No, of course not. And there's a lot of people who need some companionship in the bedroom. Even as adults, they need a soft, cuddly, furry friend to spend some alone time with in the bedroom. And Teddy Love is a teddy bear. It's a teddy bear. It's a teddy bear that you can spend special time with, ladies.
Very special time. Now, there's a Kickstarter-like campaign on a site called Indiegogo from this woman named Dawn. I want to say Harmon is her name. And here she is telling us a little bit about her invention that she's trying to get you to help fund and bring to marketplace.
Hi, I'm Dawn Harmon, inventor and CEO of Teddy Love. We are a startup company launching our novel first-in-class product, Teddy Love. Have you ever seen someone walking through an airport, in a restaurant, or through a place of business with a large adult toy visibly protruding from a handbag or briefcase?
All right, time out.
Have you ever, you guys?
Now, when I first saw this video, I thought, adult toy? Is she talking about people carrying around sock monkeys and giant stuffed animals? And then it dawned on me. Have you ever seen someone walking down the street with a giant dildo coming out of their purse or briefcase?
Right.
The answer is no, Dawn. No one's ever seen that because it never happens.
It doesn't. That's right.
Well, our novel and discreet product, Teddy Love, can be placed anywhere, inconspicuously, without fear or embarrassment. In fact, I challenge you right now to find Teddy Love in my bedroom.
So she's standing in what might actually be her real bedroom. I don't know, but she's got a bunch of stuffed animals on the bed, and she wants you to pick out which one is also a sex toy.
Yeah.
So then she walks over and she picks it up and she starts to describe the many ideal things about this particular teddy bear.
Teddy Love has a 10-speed motor housed in the muzzle, which makes Teddy's nose and tongue vibrate very strongly.
Stop it, Dawn. Is there
anything non-sexy, Lisa, about using a teddy bear as a sex toy?
It's crossing the boundaries between babies and childhood.
Yes, it's just a pedophilia FBI sting waiting to happen is what it is.
It really is. I don't know. Like, I understand what she's trying to do is she's trying to give you something that you can easily carry around and not have to hide or whatever.
By the way, you can't. If I see a grown-ass woman carrying a teddy bear around, I already think she's weird.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
I would think she was less weird if she was carrying a vibrator. I'd say, well, at least there's a sexually active, confident woman. With the woman carrying the teddy bear, I'm thinking, well, there's the girl who works the fry machine.
It's weird that she's trying to take, like Lisa says, a childhood token and sexualizing it. That's what's bizarre about it.
But at least Dawn has that sexy Jersey accent to really put us in the mood. That's what I love about this video. Try to find the bear with the vibrator in it on my bed. I bet you can't. It's really sexy.
And she is wearing a crazy business suit, too, by the way, in the
business
video.
Suits.
Well, she's a business professional. She is the creator and CEO of Teddy Love.
Teddy Love. Now, let's find out in as much detail as we are permitted to go what Teddy Love has, what it offers you, the ladies.
The nose touches a and the tongue goes into the...
All right.
The controls are in Teddy's ears, making him the ultimate listener, and you are in full control.
Now, the controls are in Teddy's ears,
yeah.
So I'm trying to visualize how this works. Are you, like, steering this little bear in front of you
yes.
by manipulating its ears?
You grab his ears like handlebars, and you just go for a ride.
Just like you do with your men.
That's right, Lisa. Just like you do with your men.
Right, but then you've got a teddy bear up in your junk, right? That's what's happening
here.
You've
got a teddy bear nestled between your thighs.
You know, that's not even...
The ladies love a teddy bear between their thighs.
That is not sexy, right?
Is he washable, this teddy bear?
Jeez. You know what? If you see Dawn, you're going to think it's...
Where has that bear been?
You're going to have to hose Teddy down when this is all over.
You know, I don't know that she mentioned whether Teddy is washable or not. Let's find out some other features.
He can sit facing a woman while doing his job, leaving someone's hands free to do other naughty things.
Other naughty things, Ralph.
Other naughty things.
Giant, hideous woman. What naughty things are you doing with your hands while the teddy bear is attacking your genitals? What? What are you, could you possibly be doing?
What could she be doing? What naughty things is she doing?
My hands then are free so I can crochet a dildo cover.
Teddy Love can be used on men too.
Okay, oh. Now wait a minute. Oh.
Okay, I really need to know if it can be washed.
I gotta sit on Teddy's head now?
That's what I'm wondering. What is she suggesting?
While your hands are doing other naughty things, I sit on Teddy's face?
Teddy is very versatile, unique, and pleasurable. Our business, Teddy Love, is based out of New Jersey in the United States.
Now, that's important to mention because New Jersey, that's the one in the U.S., right? New Jersey is easily the sexiest state in the Union.
By far, yes.
So when she brings that up, it just gets me all hot.
Our product is so novel and exciting that we had over 5,000 hits on our Facebook page the first week we went live.
All right. Yeah. In case you're wondering, Ralph, I know you sent this to me yesterday. She just kicked off this campaign on Indiegogo to raise $50,000 on June 16th. Okay, that's the day that it – so it's been a week now.
Right.
She's trying to raise $50,000. As of right now, she has raised $373.
And that was family who was pressured.
Yeah. She is at 1% right now with 53 days left to go on Teddy Gogo.
It's all from Dawn's husband who's like, yes, please let the bear do it because I don't want to go anywhere near there anymore.
All right, a little bit more.
We own the patent and trademark and are going into production this July.
That's my favorite
part. Got the patent.
Is Dave the King of Mexico writing for her? What's happening here? All right, you can go to Indiegogo.com, and the project is called Teddy Love. If you either want to contribute or want to be horrified and never sleep again.
This is one of those products that no one needs. There's no demand or desire for this product whatsoever. Don't people realize when they invent something that someone has to want it? It doesn't matter what you think of it. You have to be able to sell it to one other person. And nobody wants to jam a teddy bear in between their legs.
Can you imagine, too, if you have kids and then the little kid wanders in and grabs the bear. You're like, no, don't touch the bear.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh, what's happened to you?
Got a couple of very fine actors on the program today. Actor David Walton, star of the new hit called About a Boy, joins us. And the great Steve Zahn later on this morning's program. Also, Petros Papadakis talks about last night's Bachelor. And by the way, we got to nip this in the bud. Apparently, there's two Bachelors this week, Kevin, and the guys want to do two Bachelor reports this week.
Well, he has a show. Right?
He can do that on AM where it belongs.
Yeah.
In the meantime, a little bit of controversy yesterday. We opened the show talking about the Daytona 500 race on Saturday. Now, the band that was selected to do the national anthem bills themselves as America's most patriotic band. And I guess the lead singer is a Navy veteran, and this is their shtick. They do songs about owning guns and songs about loving their country, and they're super darn patriotic. But there are some people, even NASCAR fans who were there to see it, who thought maybe they took too many liberties with the national anthem. And we played a little bit of this yesterday from the band called Madison Rising, and then I'll tell you what happened as a result of us getting into it.
Hold the ramparts, we watch. We're so gallantly straight.
Have they completely lost the melody of the song at that point, by the way?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Okay, and then what's going on here where it gets all Spinal Tap on us?
In the rocket track, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night.
And Kevin, you had some questions yesterday about their rhythm section of the band.
I did. It just seems like there's 100 different drummers playing 100 different songs.
None of them ridiculous. Related to the national anthem. Wow, that's awful.
Yeah,
wow, is that just so bad?
It's
so
terrible.
We played a little bit of that yesterday morning, and I tweeted out a link to the video, and I talked about how it was one of the worst national anthems I've ever heard, and I wondered if instead of being a patriotic American band, if they were actually Al-Qaeda, because that's how bad they sound. And we immediately heard from the band, sending us a link to the official video of the song. Now, the version that we endured from the Daytona 500 is about 2 minutes long. Their official version they recorded for their album, American Hero, is over 4 minutes long.
Wow!
Of the national anthem. So then I started hearing from fans of Madison Rising. Al-Qaeda, really? Maybe you should research the band first. They play with 100% American pride. Here's another one. It's quite clear that Kevin and Bean aren't patriotic enough to get the genius that is Madison Rising. Then I started hearing from veterans. Hey, Kevin and Bean, you're what's poisoning America. Y'all are haters.
Yes.
I fight for your right to speak like a tool, said one Marine. So I don't know where Madison Rising ranks on the list of the worst national anthem performances at sporting events. They've got to be in the conversation. But we started talking in the meeting yesterday about how many times we've come in on this show and said, oh, my God, did you hear that anthem?
Yeah, sometimes it's just terrible like that. Sometimes people forget words. That happens a lot. I don't know if you remember Alexis Normand. She was singing the national anthem before an American Hockey League game in Portland and Halifax were the two teams that were playing. And she's out there. And it's funny how, you know, people will put up with a little bit of making that song your own. But it's not your own. And don't forget that. You know what I mean? Like, if you take too many liberties with it, people will start booing. And in most of these cases, they start booing.
After John whatsoever we say.
Uh-oh. By the way, that's what I do when I forget words. You just start mumbling.
Right.
As my dreams in firelights. Like, what was that?
I don't know. But
what's she saying?
Because it's the national anthem, it seems disrespectful to not know the words to it if you're singing it in front of a sporting event, doesn't it?
Bombs bursting in
air. Oh, she knew that one. Good. Listen to the crowd. You already sang that part. What's happening? Why is that
sad.
Happening? Remember Michael Bolton? I don't know if you remember that. It was before a baseball game, and he had the lyrics written on his hand.
All right. He literally
put his hand up in front of him so that he could read the lyrics on his hand. And then, of course, there's the 1990 Roseanne Barr. This may have been before a lot of you were even born, but Roseanne.
Yeah, that's the gold standard of really the middle finger to the national anthem. Okay, stop.
All right, stop that. And everybody started booing, and she grabbed her crotch and spit. So that
look,
happened.
Everybody should have been booing. That was completely agreed. Inappropriate. The national anthem is not a place for comedy.
Kat DeLuna is a pop star. She was singing in Dallas Stadium in front of a Cowboys game. And I don't know how much that place holds. It looked like it was about 75,000 people. But she did not do a good job.
Oh, wow.
Way off key.
And the land of the
she's killing your over-under bet, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, she continues. All right. You already said that. This is the crowd. And then I have one more, and then you can close. This is Carl Lewis.
Oh, Carl Lewis, the Olympian runner.
Carl Lewis is a sprinter, and he sang the national anthem, and he screwed it up, and he even said during the middle of it, oh, I messed it up. I'll get it right this time.
Oh, say can you see?
Oh, no. Uh-oh. How are you already off track? You just sang four words. So then he says, uh-oh.
I'll make up for it now.
Here we go.
For the land of the free.
He doesn't even try to hit the high note.
His voice is just not cooperating with him. But I don't know what kind of a singer he was before, but it wasn't working for him that day. Now, I said earlier that the National Anthem is no place for comedy, and that's why I'm still so butthurt over what the Armenian comedian did to the National Anthem when he sang in front of a Kevin Amin sporting event a number of years ago. Now, in his defense, Jimmy Kimmel did write the lyrics out for him and didn't show them to him until Sam was already singing the anthem. But here's a little bit about how that ended in front of the Kevin Bean basketball versus the midgets.
And the flag had no hair. Jose does the Star Spangled Banner, yet red.
Of course, he's way off from the music, too, which is awesome.
Oh, the land of the free.
You can't even tell.
And the bomb.
The cone? Look, isn't it time to retire Francis Scott Key's National Anthem and just make the new anthem of this country Beyonce's Drunken Love? Come on.
I like
K-Rock's World Tour 2014, destination number 4 is the Black Keys in the Swiss Alps, 9:10 this morning. We'll get you on the standby boarding list. You might win that trip. You can get the details at K-Rock.com. Swiss Alps, by the way, my fourth favorite mountain range.
Oh, God, stop it.
Ricola. Yesterday, Bean was, I think we were talking, what were we talking about? We were talking about Wonderwall by Oasis.
Yes, we had just played it, I believe.
Yes, and Bean came out of it and said, hey, that's my favorite song from the 90s.
No, first he said, you know, as I was going around making lists about these things as I do, I was putting together my list of the best songs of the 90s, and I have to think that Wonderwall is right up there at number one.
And we said, what are you talking about? He's like, you guys don't make lists?
You know, just go around making lists about everything and put them all in order. Everything that you see?
He said that at the end of the year, he has a real problem, like, with his own list of his favorite songs for the year. Like, he makes lists for everything.
He's like he's freaking Forbes magazine.
Right. Doesn't matter if it's Hot Chicks or what the category is.
And he's not publishing these lists. He's a list he
not
makes
at all.
For himself.
Just in his mind. And in he his, fights with himself for hours.
Weird Bean World. Yeah. He struggles with the lists that he must make.
Look, it's hard to imagine at this point that we're still finding out new things about Bean.
Weirder things.
We should have known, though.
Yeah, we should have.
Because he's always saying, well, that's my fourth favorite whatever. Or what's in your top three list of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I have no idea. About that.
We don't make lists.
No.
May I chime in?
Please.
I made a list about reasons why I make lists.
Hold on. Has anything been said that's inaccurate?
Just your surprise is a surprise to me because, look, all we're talking about here is just is knowing where I stand on things. That's all, which I think it's important. I know that nobody else cares where I stand, but it's important for me to know what I am about.
But wait, you're confused by where you stand on things? But do you not speak with you on a regular basis?
Here's what I think, Bean.
Are you like us? Have you finally turned your back on you and can't stand to talk to you anymore?
I haven't at all, but look, how do I put this into words? A person should know what he believes, right?
You already
That's
said
all
that.
I'm saying. Is
about everything all the
about,
time?
In order with
yes.
a numerical ranking. A person should know where things are numerically ranked in
yes,
his life.
Yes. Let me give you an example of where I run into trouble. And I don't know. I mean, look, you guys always say I'm Asperger. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I don't think
oh,
I am.
Only 100%.
So right. I don't know if this is going to work against me. But I see things in lists. Okay. That's how I see. Kanye sees music in colors. Uh-huh. I see things in lists. So, for instance,
he makes lists, what a dick.
What?
That's your new jingle.
So, I'll give you an example of what happens. It's right. A perfect example. So, I went to the supermarket the other day, and they were out of Splenda, which I love. I'm a Splenda. Splenda is my favorite of all the non-sugar sweeteners.
What? How is that a category?
On your list of sweeteners, Splenda is number one.
Splenda is number one, obviously, okay. And Sweet and Low is the worst. Sweet and Low is horrible. Everybody knows Sweet and Low, and then you got Equal in between. So I tried something new. I bought something called Truvia, which I've never seen before, never heard of before, and that's the sweetener that I'm using right now because they're out of Splenda.
Don't
so
you
I'm
have your manslave Marty check that out first before you ingest it?
So I'm using Truvia, and I'm thinking, do I like Truvia more than I like Equal? Like, I know it's not the best, but it's also not the worst. Like, where do I put that on the list? Because I think it's important to know that sort of thing so that you can make...
Well, don't you just kind of internally know what you like better, and that's it. It's done. I go, you know what? That's the one I like. I'll buy that. There's no list.
Why does it have to be ranked
does
behind
be
something
Holy
else and in
crap.
Front of
something? I'm not agonizing.
Because the next time I'm out, the next time I'm at a restaurant or something like that, I'll have that database to access to know which one of the sweeteners I should reach for, because I'll already have categorized which one is my
How
favorite.
How far ahead do you need to plan for a sweetener at a meal?
Well, when I mean, you need a sweetener. You look at what's in the jar there and say, okay, I've had that before. I'll just use that one.
I'm just that's
and not
just,
give it another thought.
Right. I don't need to quantify it or put it on a list.
Make a graph.
Let me say something.
A team of scientists working out my choice.
Let me say something, B, that might make your head spin, because this is not the way you think. But I heard Wonderwall by Oasis, and I thought, oh, I like that song. Mm-hmm.
That was enjoyable.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm. But you liked it how much and compared to what?
That's all. That was my thought process. Just I like the song.
It doesn't have to compare to something else and be ranked in comparison. It can stand alone. It's just a pleasant experience.
I think Bean is expecting the world to end at any moment. So then he needs to know, like, his number one of everything and his number two of everything so that he can actually make an informed decision. But it's not gonna. You're gonna hear another song that you like and you go, well, I like that
guys,
too.
I don't think there's anything wrong with self-reflection, first of all. And I don't
too
think
much
that,
self-reflection though.
But I mean,
but this isn't self-reflection. This
but
is
it
just,
kind of is.
No, it's, it isn't.
I mean, if
it,
you
this
if,
is
if,
full-blown Asperger's.
You're just listing items for the sake of it. This is not you're not learning anything about your true self. You're not navel gazing here, finding out anything important about your persona. You're listing sweeteners. That's what you're doing. You have a list of sweeteners. What is that teaching you about yourself, Bean? Other than you're nuts.
I'd like to get some monkey. Some help. The Kevin and Bean listeners.
Oh, they're not going to help you on this.
No, I'm just saying, if there's anyone else who can better describe what it is I'm trying to say, if you also make lists of things in your life, please call. I'd like to hear from you at 1-800-526-1-A-T-I-C. I know that makes me a dick, but let me say, this is what I mean by self-reflection, Ralph. Like, what's your favorite color?
Blue, I guess.
Because I don't know what my favorite
but
color
hold on,
is.
Bean. Hold on. Did you hear what Ralph said? Blue, I guess. You know why?
I guess.
Doesn't
right.
really matter
yeah,
to him.
I like red a lot, too. I like black.
I like red a lot, too. And I like black, too. Those are probably among my top two.
But there's no conflict in Ralph.
But why can't I decide which one I like better? That's troubling to me. Like, I should be able to make an opinion, you know, or make a decision on which one of those colors I like better. And it's troubling to me that I can't make that list sometimes. So I'll spend some time going.
It's troubling to
pros
you.
And cons. You know, which one? Why? What? Here's a point for black, point for red. It upsets me.
It's troubling to you because if you don't come to a firm conclusion, if you don't have an absolute choice, then what happens? What's the repercussions? What's the penalty?
That I don't know
do you
who
faint?
I am.
I don't know who you are?
What?
And I break ribs, Kevin.
If you think that your color, your favorite color, has anything to do with who you are truly as a person, you need to kill yourself now.
I'm just saying that's
what happens to Bean. He's thinking about colors, and he can't figure out what's number one and what's number two. He's out on the street, and so he just... just passes out.
His brain just shuts down.
That was another rib.
His brain just shuts down because he can't process what his number one color is. Oh, well, that's a point for black, but red has some fine qualities.
I don't understand how you cannot care what you like and don't like.
Hold on. See, this is where you're wrong. It's not that we don't care what we like or dislike. We could like blue, and then we could like red. And that's all cool.
But you have to like one more than the other.
You don't have to.
You have to. You can't like them both exactly
the same.
Here's the
thing. I know I like blue.
Right.
I know I'm not fond of brown.
Okay.
So I don't wear a lot of brown.
Right.
And I wear a lot of blue.
But where do they rank? Where does black brown?
It doesn't matter. I just look at a closet and I say, I like that color. I don't like that color. I don't need that. I don't need a ranking.
What if you're in a restaurant and you don't know what kind of sugar to get?
Well, I got to Nicole.
What sweetie should I get?
Let's put Nicole on line two, please. She makes lists all the time. Nicole is my girl.
Nicole, what is it like to have Asperger's?
I don't have Asperger's, and I'm sorry that Ralph's going to hate me, but it keeps my life organized.
Keeps your life organized.
Organized. Yes. What's wrong with that?
You don't need organization when it comes to a sweetener. Buy one or
yes,
don't.
You do. No, you totally do. And colors, too. Like it keeps me like safe knowing that green is my favorite color.
Isn't that comforting to have that decision
yes.
made and it's written down and it's final and it's wow. not
oh
something
God.
You have to worry
totally.
About?
Who worries about it? Who spends time worrying?
You know you're living a life of illusion, right? If you think that knowing exactly what rank your favorite colors falls in gives you any control over your world whatsoever.
I'm totally not. If you don't understand.
We understand.
We're not diagnosed. That's what we understand.
Yes. Right. You need a medical healthcare professional.
Nicole, don't listen to them, Nicole. I love you, and you're right. Thank you for calling, okay?
And Nicole, too.
This is turning into a macadamia day.
Oh!
His favorite nut
That's
list.
That's right. He told us that was his favorite nut list. That's right.
No, macadamia's down low, Kevin.
Oh, way low.
I'm sorry. I got confused about walnuts.
Sometimes,
list.
Yeah, walnuts.
The pistachios, then almonds.
Because if you don't know, Kevin, exactly what rank your favorite nuts fall in, how can you organize your life? How can you get through your day?
Then who are you?
Who are you, really, in the final analysis, if you don't know your nut list?
Thank you, Ralph.
And
finally, we agree on something.
Confused about the nuts for a second, you go,
So Judy Greer, so you're talking to Ralph, you're talking to me, you're not talking to Kevin?
No, what? I'm mad at him.
Many of us here in this room love Judy Greer more than we can say.
Wait, yes. What happened? I love you.
Well, I just was driving here today listening to all this talk about Brooklyn Decker, and it turns out that she got picked over me. Yeah.
By Bean.
Excuse me, Kevin.
No, by you.
What are you talking about? Judy's one of the few guests who can actually distinguish between you two. That's why you're in trouble, Kevin.
I heard the whole thing in my car, and I.
Why do you hurt people's feelings, Kevin? Come on.
I can't totally say that I blame him. That's the only problem.
I do. I blame him.
Look, I'm excited that Brooklyn is joining us next hour. I really am. But Judy, you are the bomb. Aww. Seriously.
Apparently, you're from 1985 too. You're the bomb.
You are the bomb.
I do need to upgrade my vocabulary,
I
guess.
Am I the bomb diggity or just the bomb?
I'd say the bomb diggity.
I'd throw some diggity at you. Sure.
The beautiful Miss Judy Greer is here, who you know from everything. 27 dresses, 1301 on 30 Arrested Development, Archer. Apparently not Bridesmaids, though, as all of the people who meet you on the street believe you were in that movie. And Judy is here because she has written a book hilariously titled, I Don't Know What You Know Me From. Which is a great title and really is your life, right, Judy?
Yes, it is. It's my life, and I'm now learning the life of many other actors in my position. I've been working with a lot of people lately that are like, oh, yes, totally. It's totally my problem.
So you've done so many different projects. People recognize you. And
then
do they make you tell them, where do I know you from?
Oh,
do they?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So then you have to start giving them your bio?
Yes, that becomes my problem. this becomes a problem. I have to solve in like 3 minutes or less.
You should carry around copies of your IMDb page and just hand them out to people when they come up to you
like
randomly.
A business card. I know. And or I could just
find it,
program it in their smartphone, assuming they have one.
Yeah. Have you ever just run out of them? Just no? No?
Yeah,
what else?
Yeah. I recently had an experience with the customs guy when I was coming. I was going from Toronto into JFK, and the customs officer was holding onto my passport. And he was not going to give it to me until I, proved myself. I was like, it was 10 p.m. I've been working all day. I was like, I just want to go to my hotel and go to bed. His name was Bill. He was very kind, but he was like, no. And I'll tell you right now, I don't watch TV and I don't watch movies. And I'm like, Bill, I don't know how to help you. I don't. But now, you know what I just remembered is that I could probably say the weird Sprint commercials that I'm in, because Bill does watch sports, and they do.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
I should have thought of that, but I was real tired.
Yeah.
Congratulations on marrying a hamster, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
That is great news.
Judy, did you have to be talked into writing a book, or was this your idea?
Well, it was something I really wanted to do. I just kind of needed a little push from the book agent that she was sort of watching a bunch of my stuff and thought I was funny and that I might have some stories to tell. And so I thought, I will try it. I wrote the proposal first to see if this was something I could do. And then we sold it. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it.
I bought the book on Saturday and thought I would do due diligence and read a couple of chapters since you were coming in. I ended up reading the whole damn book yesterday. It's so funny, and it so sounds like your voice. I mean, I sense there was no ghostwriter involved. I sense you're every word of this thing.
No, it's 100% me. I have an awesome editor, Christina Malik. I must say her name. She's the best, but I did write everything myself, and I did sort of write it out loud.
What does that mean?
Like, I had to say everything out loud while I wrote. I did go to...
How annoying it must be to live with you.
It is Judy's annoying writing to live again. With me.
So anyway, there I was... On the set. Shut up! Watching television!
It's annoying to live with me for other reasons, for sure. I would write everything first, like, in a public place, but then when I would go home to edit, I would have to say it all out loud.
That's funny. How come you almost blew up your computer? You didn't explain why that you kept having to go back to the Genius Bar. What went wrong?
Oh, you read the acknowledgments.
I read every word, baby.
Who reads the acknowledgments?
You. They're funny. I tried to make them interesting. Well, one time I almost set my computer on fire because I had a candle burning and the laptop was like tilted a little too far towards the candle, and I was like writing away and I wasn't even thinking, and my husband came in, he's like, something smells weird. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he was right, my computer was on fire.
I feel like living with Judy would be like being in a sitcom, don't you?
Yeah. Judy, you got lots of explaining to do.
We have to take a break here, but I have to ask you this first, because yes. I was up all night thinking about how crazy this story is, Judy. You talked about how, and I don't bring this story up just because it involves your boobs, but you talk about how your mother, listen to this, you guys, Judy's mom got shot in the chest when she was 11 years old by her four-year-old brother, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Survived, big scar on her chest. What happened after that, Judy?
I have a scar on my chest in the same place. You mean, what? Is that what you were getting at?
How? What? Why?
I got a sound effect.
Wait, how? You were born with a mark on your chest in the same location that your mother had a scar from a gunshot?
I can't say I was born with it, but it is there. And I, you know, when you're a little kid, I didn't check out my own boobs that much. But then as I got older, I was checking them out more often because they were just not growing. and I noticed that little scar, and I did show it to my mom a few years ago. And
is it sort of in the same shape?
It's the same scar.
What?
It's like
isn't
a
that
little
it's wild?
Not, it's not huge. It's a bullet. It's this. It's like a bullet wound scar. It's tiny, and I could show you, but then that would probably be cheating on my husband. But, or we could do a movie about it, and then I could show you.
Then it would be fine.
Paid. Yeah, totally.
Right, sure.
So, yeah.
What if we just pay you now and say we're making a movie? Take the top off.
What if we just make it rain? Is that cool?
Done.
The book
how
is
weird
called...
a sympathy scar.
I know.
It is so weird. It's so weird. The book is called I Don't Know What You Know Me From. It is very, very funny. It's written by Judy Greer, our guest here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. Kevin will have to leave the room, and then we'll come back, and us friends, we'll talk more after this on K-Rock. I Don't Know What You Know Me From. Judy Greer is the author. She is in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Judy.
I'm totally in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
And you're going to be in Tomorrowland and Jurassic World. You're going to end up being a movie star after all.
I think I'm still going to be a movie co-star, but I'm okay with that because these roles are so awesome and these projects are so huge. And I remember a couple years ago saying to my agent, like, I kind of want to be in like a really big budget movie. Do you think that like I could try to do that? And then boom, I got in three huge budget movies.
I was talking to Judy a little bit about WonderCon this weekend, and I told her I saw some footage from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which looks brilliant, by the way, amazing.
Yeah.
And she was saying she hadn't seen anything yet. She hadn't seen any of
really?
The footage.
No, I saw one on set. They showed me a rendering of my Cornelia, the role that I play. I saw a picture of her, and they gave her more of like a feminine hairdo. It was so cute.
Judy's an ape. Judy's an ape.
An ape. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm playing an ape. Yeah. And they like tried to give her. It's so cute. I don't know if this is what they went with, but they gave her sort of like a little page boy. She has like an ape, like a little ape page boy. I was like, oh my god.
And earrings and lipstick, right?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Those apes have the cutest haircuts.
Dress.
Before you came in, Kevin was saying how you could only play an ape in those movies.
How dare you?
He was saying.
How
I was so surprised.
How dare you?
On this topic, Judy, to read in the book that you go out for tons of roles that you don't get because you're always working. It seems like a month doesn't go by that you're not in something, but you said that you don't get five jobs for every one you do, and that was a shock to me.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, in the last year, I haven't had time to try to get other parts, but yeah, but it's okay. I mean, sometimes it's like, if I don't get a job, maybe I shouldn't get the job. Maybe I'm not right for it, you know?
It sort of feels like to those of us that are not in the industry, it sort of feels like once you've either made it or you haven't made it. And the people who haven't made it get rejected a lot.
Yes.
The people who have made it rarely get rejected. And that's just not
true. That's not true. And I can tell you, I'm not going to name drop, but there's some super famous people I know who still audition and they tell me about it.
What are their names?
Yeah, well, right. and I was shocked to hear that.
Right.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, you had to audition for that? Really? Because I always just think it's me. Everyone thinks it's someone else.
But it's a combination. You probably get offers, too, for stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Usually
and more so
it's probably
so
crappy stuff, but you get offers for stuff.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's awesome stuff.
That's awesome.
I just got offered a movie, and I'd worked with these guys before with Lily Tomlin. So, I mean, I get to work with one of my heroes, and that was an offer, and that was a dream come true. So that's pretty cool.
I was also interested in your book, Judy, how you talk about how, in some ways, I feel like you think maybe it's better to be at your level than to be at the level where you have to constantly deal with tabloids and paparazzi and gossip and everything else. I mean, you're under the radar enough that you can live a sort of normal life, right?
Yeah, I live a really normal life. It's like super normal. I mean, I just went to the 7-Eleven and got a coffee, and it was just me and the guy before me in line buying some lottery tickets, which I thought was interesting for a Monday morning, but I don't know. I always think of buying lottery tickets on Friday after work, but I don't know. Maybe Monday's his Friday. I don't know his schedule, to be honest.
How did we end up talking about him?
I don't know. He seems more fun than me. His life is more interesting.
Yeah, but if you were a bigger star, then at least people would know exactly where they knew you from, which would be a little bit of a relief.
But then
there's no book.
Yes, then
that's true.
No book.
There's no book.
So maybe the next book will be like, you do know what you know me from.
Yeah. I know exactly where you know me from.
Let me tell you something else I learned about Judy from the book, you guys. Uh-oh. And that is that she met her husband on an actual honest-to-goodness blind date.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't you be amazed if you went on a blind date and it was TV's Judy Greer opening the door? Wouldn't that just be a shock?
But you wouldn't know if it was TV's or movies or what.
I know her from somewhere.
I've seen you before.
Well, the truth is, it was blind for me. He did look me up on the internet. And then he tried to
Well, that's sort of unfair. Did you know his name and just not do it?
He offered, because I don't have Facebook, so he was like, if you have Facebook, we could, and you could see a picture of me. And I was like, I had already been talking on the phone with him for like a week at this point, and I felt...
Because of your phone sex job?
Yeah. That's how we met. So he was like, I'll just email you a picture of me. And I was like, that's so weird, because then, like, I don't know, what if the picture comes and it's weird, and then I'm like, everything changes, and right. I know I'm like not that good of an actress. Like, he'll be able to tell the tone in my voice. So I was like, no, don't do it. So when I opened the door on our first date, there he was. I had never seen him before. And I was getting ready for the date, and I was wearing jeans and a cute blouse, like you do. And I was like, oh crap, do I wear flats or heels? Like, I don't even know. I'm kind of tall for a lady, so I was like, I don't know what to do. I had my high-heeled boots on when the door, when he knocked. I don't have a doorbell. It's broken. It has been forever. But anyway,
I feel like that's an unneeded tangent.
Sorry.
Well, then you're going to love the book.
When he was tall.
Chapter 2, doorbells.
Things that are broken at my house that I haven't gotten fixed.
Do you think the guy at the 7-Eleven with the lottery tickets has a doorbell, Judy?
I do. I feel like he probably does. Damn him. I'm so jealous.
So was he taller than you or shorter than you?
Tall. He was tall.
Yeah. There's the ending of the story.
Tell the kids who haven't read the book what it was like for you to have an instant family, too. So you start dating this guy. You end up marrying this guy. Now, all of a sudden, you have teenagers.
Out of nowhere,
you didn't raise any kids, but now you've got teenagers. Was that horrifying, terrifying?
It was really scary because I've always been afraid of teenagers. Even when I was a teenager, they've freaked me out, and I didn't know. I just didn't know. I tried, I went in, really intensely with the Twilight Twilight with his daughter because she was, I think, 12 or 13 when I met her. And I was like, this is my jam because I watch Gossip Girl. I read all the Twilight books. I'm really into YA. Like, that is going to – but she wasn't yet. So then – and then my stepson is obsessed with sports. Yeah, nothing there.
Nothing,
I don't know.
Right?
Like, I'm like, I used to go to Red Wings games.
Oh, curse you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But, I mean, I don't know if we ever gave up 7 goals. What?
No.
I'm
gotcha.
Not, I don't know if that ever happened in Detroit.
No. Kevin, you are not going to come back from that.
I'm not. Now, Kevin has a scar on his chest right here.
I'm not even going to try.
That was for the win, Judy.
Thank you.
That was pretty sweet.
Wow. Damn it. Wow. I feel like we need to let that reverberate a little bit.
He won't even look at me now.
That was powerful.
That was painful. Kevin, you got a little blood right here. You got a little blood right here, buddy. You got tagged. Yeah, right there.
Right there. Yeah. Yeah, there that was the widowmaker right there, man.
That was a haymaker, yep.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
That one came out of nowhere and hit me right
sweet,
on the button.
Quirky exterior hides the heart of an assassin.
Wow, that was hurt.
It's okay. Sorry. We'll move on. Step parenting. Yes. Really.
So what
challenging.
Do you do with the boy who's a sports nut? How do you connect with him?
You just watch everything he does. You go to all the games. That's what I learned. You kind of do just have to show up. So I went to all of his games. I went to all of her soccer games. And if you just hang out long enough, like.
Did you ever get, you're not my mom?
Yeah, I'm hoping. Not yet. I'm not ruling it out. But no, the hard thing I found harder than the sports and is the feeding of the children. I did have a hard time figuring out how to feed 4 people at one time that I had never.
Yeah, when you've been just cooking for yourself.
Do you cook for yourself? Like,
barely.
No, you assemble
microwave,
for yourself.
Yeah.
I know. I've assembled food for one for my whole life. And
can't you just
sudden,
assemble 4 times as much?
I know. It would seem that way, but there's things that they eat that I don't eat and vice versa. And then I was like a vegetarian when I met them. Now I'm like all meat all the time. If you can't beat them, join them. I was like, all right, you know what? I'll be a vegetarian when they go to college. So just circle back to that.
Just get back
later.
To that later. Yeah. So you're actually a grown-up adult now, Judy, it sounds like.
I am. Yes, I am. I have kids and a husband and houses and a job. I paid my taxes on time.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
I put it in the mailbox, right?
Like at 11.
That's how that works, Judy. Yes.
Like at 11:59?
I was on set working, and everyone was like, I thought it was the 13th, and everyone was like, oh, so the 14th. And I was like, what? What? I need to go. I have to go now. Like, I totally was a day off, but I did it. I got it in.
You know, it's the 15th, right?
No, yeah, but the 14th is when I had to, you know. I thought I had another day.
Oh,
yes.
I see.
The taxes, I knew the taxes were due on the 15th. Okay. I just thought it was the 13th, but it wasn't.
Well, you have you have made many wonderful choices, and I'm so happy that things are going so well for you, Judy. And the book hilarious.
Thank you.
I cannot recommend it enough to people. If you like Judy, you will love, love, love this book. Congratulations. Please come back and see us again.
I promise.
I'd rather you didn't.